Hello and welcome to this episode of Debt Wired. I am your host, Melina Jalquia, the primary markets reporter for North America. Today, I am pleased to have with me Laleh Bashirat. She's the managing director at the BNP Paribas Leverage Syndicate team. Laleh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Melina.
Now, it has certainly been a very busy few months for the market, right? We've seen record volumes in new deals, borrowers flooding the markets, a new presidency announced. So quite a lot to unpack as the year ends. Could you first give us an overview of the current technical backdrop in leveraged loans and high yield bonds?
Sure, happy to. In one word, the markets are just robust. We have had generally good earnings, benign credit cycle, central banks that have been, you know, signaling dovish stance. And the one unknown was the election. And having cleared that risk event, we really have seen a supercharging coming out of election week with expectations of administration's pro-business stance, easing of regulatory regime, tax reductions, and all this driving corporate growth. We see a very positive technical backdrop for risk assets. And, you know, as seen in recent weeks, with equities at all-time high territory and just very strong broader demand for leveraged assets. In both high yield and leveraged loans, we've had a very constructive year, a lot of refinancings, no refi wall to worry about. And as mentioned, between favorable earnings and default rates remaining low, we've seen volume probably going to hit $270 billion for the year in high yield, which is up 50%, over 50% year over year. Credit spreads continue to stay very tight and making for a very attractive outcome for issuers. And on top of that, we're a net positive in terms of inflows for the year into the asset class. So, and same on loans. We've seen $1.5 trillion price approximately, including some record launch days we can talk about, and CLOs at a record pace, all of that fueling demand, but very little new money supply. So very well set up for hopefully the M&A pipeline to build.
And you mentioned record volumes of new loans tapping the market. And I remember this week was especially really high, right?
Right. I think we all came back from our turkey feasts. You know, we have much to be thankful for, obviously, but we saw over $55 billion hit the market on Monday. And so some of this obviously is built up from last week being a slow week and the fact that Thanksgiving's so late that there is a rush to market because there's just 3 weeks before everything shuts down, which is a little shorter sprint than, you know, some years to year end. So notably of the 40 issuers, you know, only five transactions maybe had new money. It was pretty much a reprice wave that was unleashed. And, you know, all of that just reflects the very strong demand technicals and in particular, the growing CLO pipeline, which, you know, with pressure to ramp for the CLOs and some, you know, retail inflows, issuers have a very nice backdrop to take advantage of reducing their cost of debt. So it's been predominantly repricings and loans.
And when it comes to this demand, right, how do you see some of the drivers evolve? Any differences between loans and bonds, especially considering floating versus fixed rates?
I would say that there's definitely optimism, as I was saying, for risk assets. And in particular, just given a positive backdrop and, you know, expectations of economic growth, as we just touched on, I think the outlook for demand is positive just for risk. And so this will serve well both loans and high yield. If we think about high yield in terms of actual supply, 60% of the volume this year came in the first half. And activities actually slowed down a little bit versus what we had been expecting. I think the market was ready with demand for more paper than what's actually come. But so much has already been refinanced and the event-driven pipeline is quite weak, in particular for high yield. With less supply and a bullish tone in market, I think that demand will continue to remain positive. Now, you know, that said, obviously the direction of rates will ultimately dictate how strong that demand maintains. And, you know, typically in high yield, we have rate volatility, you know, create some noise day to day. But overall, we think that the demand for yield should continue to sustain. And the one thing I would note is that in high yield in particular, we've seen a very constructive bid for more storied credits or more challenged situations for retailers or paper pulp or even declining print businesses. And so That's been a big positive for issuers that have had more either sector-specific challenge or just over-leveraged situations to have access to capital and you know, at a price for sure. But high-yield investors have been willing to put a price on risk. And in turn, that's provided liquidity, which ultimately reduces default risk. So that's good for the whole system. And we do think that that will continue to drive positive demand technicals. And actually, for a very similar story in loans in terms of the risk on sentiment, and in particular in loans, we've had a massive boost from strong CLO creation and very strong inflows into retail funds in the last couple months, in particular since the election. And part of that, I think, as we had seen potentially a bigger optimism around rate cuts, loan retail funds had seen some outflows in certain weeks, but really post-election and the expectation that much of the positive growth dynamics that everyone's counting on will probably be somewhat inflationary and potentially slow down the rate or the pace of rate cuts, you know, for loans as floating rate products, that's a positive for investors as they think about, you know, the all-in yield there. And just overall, I think the demand for risk, so in a more innocuous risk environment, CLOs that can sometimes be a little bit homogeneous in their checklist of investment opportunities. Everyone's buying the same ratings or selling the same ratings at the same time or on similar sectors, either all in or all out. And so as we see a more benign risk environment, we do expect that, you know, CLOs will also look to maybe price risk in a little bit more of a challenged and storied situation as well, which is really what we've seen predominantly in the high yield market in this past year.
Now, most of the deals hitting the market are refinancings and repricings. As you mentioned, companies taking advantage of these CLO inflows, the demand, the tight spreads. But what's your outlook when it comes to new money issuance and M&A in 2025?
As we've been saying, the record setting has been on repricings, certainly no records on new money this past year. But, you know, as we think about the look ahead and a lot of what we've talked about in terms of just positive business sentiment and easing credit conditions, we do expect that M&A will pick up. And as a result, the, you know, new money financings will also perk up. And so already in recent weeks, we've had several announcements and some jumbo ones, including Sanofi's divestiture of their consumer health business to a sponsor, Honeywell's sale of their personal protection equipment unit. And so we have in construction building products, Quikrete just last week. So really we've had this unleashing of M&A that's already begun, and we expect there will be more of that, but it'll take a little bit for the pipeline to build. So it's very possible that the early days of the first quarter, we will still be seeing refis, recaps, dividends, you know, dominate the headlines until we're at a point where there's a little bit more consistent flow of M&A, LBO financings.
And what is the state of play for public to private conversions? I mean, we had a recent rally in equities. Can we expect to see more companies coming to the public markets?
With all-time highs in equities, that should translate to more companies looking to explore the public markets. And certainly for private equity firms that have been challenged to realize returns on their investments in the last couple of years, they should very much benefit from the reopening of the public markets and giving them an exit route via IPOs. As we think about just the sky-high valuations, probably seeing less of the public to private wholesale, I think as we continue to see valuations really at record levels, it makes less for opportunities to take private. Maybe specific sectors are really challenged, you know, companies that would do better under, you know, private equity ownership to either reduce cost structure or change strategy or maybe break apart in some cases. And so that's really where we will potentially see those worlds overlap. And then lastly, one of the things that will probably continue to be active in the public to private would be maybe the larger public companies that are just divesting of their non-core assets. And, you know, private equity has always been a very good buyer and bidder for that strategy. And so I think they would welcome the opportunity to take some of those assets private.
And obviously, we have to talk about private credit. It plays such a big role in financing these transactions these days. Where do you see the current environment of BSL versus private credit? I mean, should we expect to see more of these hybrid structures, you know, with private credit providing PIK or junior tranches, and then syndicated markets providing first lien loans and bonds?
The story on private credit, certainly this past year, has been just competition versus BSL. And that is one part of the story and one part of the story that will likely remain. There's a part of the, you know, financing universe that's just too large for private credit, at least as things stand today. And there are probably, you know, a fair amount of financings that are just too small to make sense for the BSL market, especially given the last few years and the volatility in the market that has really pushed CLOs and retail funds to put a higher value on liquidity. And so size matters. And so they're not playing those smaller deals anymore. So having a different market that finances that universe makes a ton of sense. It's good and healthy for the entire landscape. Where there's overlap is in the middle. And really, because volumes have been so low this past year, those best of assets have had intense competition. And so sponsors win because they bake off the, you know, BSL market as represented by the banks as underwriters versus the private credit markets. But I think where we, and some of that will continue for best of assets, but I think where we will see probably more collaboration, as we have seen in some issues, is that in an environment where rates maybe come down more slowly and cap structures can't or shouldn't take on too much cash paying debt, there is the opportunity, especially with private credit funds that have more flexibility in terms of taking some partial PIK, to put together structures that bring both the BSL liquidity together with some private credit financing to tranche into an overall financing that gives a sponsor the full debt capacity to meet the valuation requests of the sellers. And I think that could be a very big positive going forward.
And are there any macro themes and sector trends you're paying attention to before year end?
Before year end and probably spilling into next year, I think, you know, we've had our eye on the pace of rate cuts, and that's going to be a continued wait and see. We have obviously one more rate cut this year, and really the data will dictate. So I don't think we're completely out of the woods in terms of making assumptions about, you know, how soon leverage structures will have a little bit more breathing room. But I think what we can say, as we've been saying, is that the overall risk picture does look better. And in particular in loans, sponsors prefer loans to high yield, just both with the expectation right now of rates coming down, but the ability to reprice loans, which has been a big theme of the year, obviously, and not having the hurdle of call protection, not being locked into a cap structure, all of that flexibility. And on top of that, not just as a private borrower versus a public issuer of securities, there are a lot of reasons why sponsors tend to prefer loans. But, you know, as we know, the big driver in loans between CLOs, which right now everything looks good, and more marginally retail funds, but really some of the big inflows we saw more recently were driven by ETFs or fast money. And so that we think was a little bit of a recalibration around the pace of rate cuts. So any change in that dialoguing of rate cuts could have an impact both on high yield, you know, as well as the loan picture. And then in particular, in some sectors, more so than others. But in addition to that, we have a new administration, and the policies of that administration will potentially give us something to think about when they become a little bit more framed with regards to sectors that might be impacted, you know, service providers to government agencies or importers from Asia and or Mexico, Canada, I guess now. And also, you know, the healthcare sector, which is a very large part of the leveraged loan universe. So all of that gives us themes to focus on, but we do think that there will be a more managed path forward. And I'll come back to saying that I, you know, overall, we do think that the positive trends will outweigh some of the noise that the market may need to work through.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with the new presidency and the Fed rate cut. The Fed's meeting is actually in just a couple of weeks, so it should be an interesting end to the year. Lale, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your valuable insights.
Melina, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our listeners for checking out this episode of DebtWired. As always, you can subscribe or download every episode via Apple and find thousands of articles with insights, research, and more from our team at DebtWired.com. See you next time.